Good morning, His Tabernacle family. How are we doing? We have one person doing great, a couple people doing moderate. How are we doing? There we go. A little more awake and alive. Good morning. My name is Pastor Tim. Me and my wife, Pastor Noelle, we are the young adults pastors here. And if you know anybody or if you yourself are ages 18 to 30, we have Awaken Young Adults Group. It is tonight at 6. We want to personally invite you out. We're going to have a great time. We're having a cereal bar, all right? So I'm excited. I haven't had cereal in a hot minute, but it's like, I don't know. It just sounded fun. Sounded like something fun to do. I'm looking up where it tells us what to announce. I had it earlier, and then it disappeared. But I could probably do it by memory. All right, you know what? Good morning. I want to welcome everybody online on our live stream. We're so glad you're here. If this is your first time, welcome. If this is your 77,000th first time, we're so glad you're here. If you don't feel connected or you want to get a little more connected, meet some of the people on our staff right after service, right here to your right. We have a connect room, and in there we got snacks, we got some coffee, we got people who want to meet you. We want to make sure that you are connected. And with that, we also have groups. If you're in a group, go ahead and raise your hand real quick. Who's in a group? We see you. Okay. If someone's not raising your hand, you need to join a group. This is so essential. It's fun. It's awesome. We have some crazy groups out there, people who just eat food. That sounds like a good group to me. But look, you need to join a group. There is a groups desk right out in the foyer. Get on there. Find a group you want to join. Join them. And we also have Discover Class. Look, if you haven't been to Discover Class, you got to go. Discover Class is awesome. It tells you the heart about the church. We want to tell you why we do what we do here, why we believe what we believe, and it's super important. So every Sunday morning at 9:30 in the Connect Room, we want to invite you out to Discover Class. And then lastly, I'm sure Pastor will speak more to this, but it is Biker Sunday. Well, I know we have a lot of people in the parking lot still, but we want to please worship with all your heart, but please worship from your seats just so we don't accidentally burn ourselves or anything on the bikes. Amen. Does that sound good? Good. Thumbs up. All right. They kind of get it. And Pastor disappeared. Oh, there he is. Welcome with me our pastor, Pastor Michael Spencer.
Praise the Lord. We're glad you're here this morning. Thank you so much. We are starting on time. We know there are a bunch of folks still out in the parking lot making their way in. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. Right after this service, if you would like to, we have a guest reception room right on the other side of this wall. We have some coffee, just quick donuts, and the opportunity to meet people. This is Biker Sunday. Can you tell? Look at the bikes down here. They're beautiful. I love good motorcycles. Amen. So we're going to have a great time with the Lord. We have the bike ministry also going to be participating with us. So let's all stand to our feet. Let's welcome Jesus. Amen. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you love people. That God, you're going to move in our lives today, and that God, you're going to challenge us to be more like you. Holy Spirit, we need you to change us. We need you to draw us to Christ. We need you, Lord God, to show yourself powerful and real. So in this service, Holy Ghost, we ask that you'll heal people, that you'll set people free, that you'll give people hope, that you'll encourage and strengthen us, and that God, your name will be glorified. For you are a great God and greatly to be praised. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen.
Good morning, good morning. I'm so excited to praise with you guys. How are you guys doing today? Y'all ready to praise this morning? Y'all ready to praise this morning? You're a little further away, so I'm going to just need like a little louder shout. Y'all ready to praise this morning? There it is. Come on and sing with me. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call. Can y'all sing that? Something happens when I call your name. 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 Something happens when I call. Come on and clap, y'all. Sing, chains are loose. Chains are loose when I call your name. Chains are loose when I call your name. Chains are loose when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Chains are loose when I call your name. Chains are loose when I call your name. Chains are loose when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Sing, mountains move. Mountains move when I call your name. Mountains move when I call your name.
Mountains move when I call your
say
name.
Say something happens.
Something happens when
yeah,
I call your
yeah.
name.
Say mountains.
Mountains move when I call your name. Mountains move when I call your name.
Mountains move when I
call your name.
Something happens when I call your name. Do you believe that this morning? Come on, if you believe that, let me hear you clap. Come on and give God a shout of praise real quick if you believe it. Because he's mighty. He's mighty in battle and he never loses, right? So come on and sing. We break through.
We break through when we call your name. We break through when we call your name. We break through when we call your name. Something happens when I call your name. We break through when we call your name. We break through when we call your name. We break through when we call your name. Something happens when I
come on and shout it out.
We break through when we call your name. We break through when we call your name. We break through when we call your name.
Something happens when I call your name.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I'll win. Y'all know that song, sing it out.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win.
Let me hear you sing.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win.
Yeah, come on and shout it out. Just say.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win.
Repeat after me real quick. Say, I win.
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 I can't lose. Cause I win. I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free.
Sing, I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free. Say, something happens, y'all.
Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens.
I want to hear you sing it. Say,
something.
Yeah. Something happens when I call your name.
Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name.
Something happens when I
call your name.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I'll win. I want to hear y'all sing that out. Say. Yeah, y'all sound amazing. One more time. If you believe that, just repeat after me. Say, I'll
win.
I'll win.
I'll win.
I'll win.
I'll win.
I can't lose. Cause I'll
win.
I'll win.
I'll
win. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Yes, I'm free.
I'm free.
Yes, I'm free.
I'm free.
Yes, I'm free. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Something happens when I. Something happens when I call your name. Let's do something real quick. Somebody say, Jesus. 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 Your name is wonderful, God. We worship you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just give God a shout of praise, y'all? Can we just give God a shout of praise like never before? Hallelujah. How many of us need Jesus this morning? If you need Jesus, just lift up your hands and turn to your neighbor and say, I need Jesus this morning. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I need Jesus this morning. Turn to the people behind you. Definitely you. Turn to the people behind you and say, I need Jesus this morning. Now, do you believe that? Come on and sing this with us. Say, hey. Hey, 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 hey. Say this world, everybody.
This world is not my home. I am just passing through. Earthly treasures soon will fail, but I found my hope in you.
Sing it loud, say you are.
You are the one I want, you are the one I need. See, this world can have it all, it can't take me. But I want Jesus, shout it out, say give me.
Welcome to Biker Sunday at His Tabernacle Family Church, the first annual. We're excited for all of our guests that are here. Thank you so much for coming. We do want to encourage all of our guests to come at least three times. First time is like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What did I get myself into? Second time, it's like, yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah. Third time is like, I can't go to a boring church again. Amen? So I want to encourage you to come to the house of God. Come at least three times. You're going to be all right. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to be all right? Tell somebody else, you're going to be all right. Amen. We're so excited that you're here. We're going to do something we call at His Tabernacle, meet and greet. And that is, we're going to ask you to take 5 minutes, go meet somebody you do not know. Now listen, not everybody is still comfortable. If they're not, make sure you respect them and honor them. But go meet somebody you don't know, shake their hand and say, by the way, welcome to Bike a Sunday. Go find somebody, encourage them in the Lord.
Connect with you, drop any prayer requests that you might have this morning so I can pray with you. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Amanda. Good morning, Barb Garrett. Watching from Virginia. Good morning. Good morning, Bonnie. Who else we got going on here? Good morning, Penny. Good morning, Deb. It's so good that you're watching with us this morning.
Come on now, don't be a snob. Go meet somebody you don't know. Good morning. Welcome to Bike a Sunday.
Wasn't worship so incredible this morning? In case you missed it, today is Biker Sunday. We have some motorcycles in the front of the altar. Good morning, Jen from Myrtle Beach. Good morning, Jeannie from Arizona. Wow, look at that. Good morning, Chase. Does anyone have any prayer requests for me this morning? I just want to remind you that if you live in the Horseheads and Elmira Corning area, that our services are 9 and 11 a.m. every single Sunday. So if you're
Did
able, come
to
into the house of God.
Come on now, don't be a snob.
Good morning, Amanda. Good morning, Charmaine. Charmaine was here first service, and she's getting a second dose at home. Does anybody have any prayer requests for me?
I don't know. Sunday. We're going to be doing this every year, letting our community know that we love and appreciate them. Thanking the bikers. Bikers are the most generous people that I've ever really met, and I thank God for them in our community. They're very helpful. I want to remind everybody that this coming Friday is a men's retreat, men's conference over at Chambers. If you're interested, please go to the main entryway and sign up. I know that you'll enjoy yourself. We're going to receive the morning tithe and offering. My wife, some of you are asking where she is. She's preaching in Georgia today. She flew out on Friday and will be back this evening very, very late. So we're very glad that she's down there sharing the gospel down in Jessup, Georgia. And the good part, too, all, is that it's her last travel for at least 2 months. Yahoo! I like that. She's been all over the place. So we're glad that she's out and preaching the gospel. Her and Carla are down there today. This morning, we're going to receive the morning tithe and offering. If we could, everybody stand. For those who don't know, what we do mainly is we bring our tithes and offering to the Lord according to the Word of God, not shaking you down in your seat. If you don't want to give, if you're a guest, of course, you don't. We're not asking you to give. But if this is your home, we ask that you be a tither and a seeder, and that you invest in the house of God that you're part of. Amen? Are you ready? Let's make our supernatural declaration. If I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I said, I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. If you're watching online, this is your moment. You can see right now on your screen three different ways to give. I'm going to make sure that you do. Why? Because if this is your home church, whether you're just watching online or you're actually ever here, we want you to know that this is where you tithe, if this is your home church. You can give all those three different ways, text to give, online giving, and or just come and put it in an envelope. We love you. My wife and I do it by bank, so our bank sends a check out every single week automatically. We love you, and enjoy the service. Praise the Lord. Biker Sunday, it's our very first one, and so we appreciate your patience as we're just working out the bugs. Those who are our guests that are not bikers, we want to encourage you to come back next week. We come back to more of a normal style of service, and it's just a lot of fun. I enjoy the presence of God. My wife and I have been blessed, and so have many of you. We've been up with Brother Ted Shuttlesworth up in Rochester, up in Faith Temple, or Faith Church, they now call it, and we've been up there for over a week, about 10 days. And what a great outpouring of God's Spirit. Saw amazing miracles, like genuine, powerful miracles that could not be fabricated, could not be made up, wasn't anybody collaborating, genuine miracles. And I want you to know that your God loves you, and He is still a miracle-working God, and God cares about your situation. So don't you give up. God hasn't. Amen? Man, I tell you, God is so faithful. This is Brad Garrett. Brad, wouldn't you come out of here real quickly? Brad Garrett, he's the president of the Line Crossers. And for those who don't know, we have a motorcycle ministry in our church where we reach out and try to let what we call, it's truly a subculture of bikers, know that God loves them and that God cares for them. So I'm going to have Brad Garrett take over. He's not the first speaker, but he's going to set everything in line.
Good morning. Started real quick. It was July 18th of last year. We had an accident with our Canton chapter, and a brother of ours ended up, he lost a leg, That was not intentional. So I got to get my notes out. So Biker Sunday, my faith is stronger than my fear. And this has been years in the making. And what we're going to do through testimonies is kind of explain the road that we've been on that has led us. Oh, yeah, there it is. The road that we've been on that has led us to this point. We got three of us going to speak this morning. And without further ado, Brother Terry Wheat going to come up and share his testimony.
Sure, they picked the youngest guy in the motorcycle ministry. Not by age, but by being with them. I'll tell you, I could go on and on with testimonies of how my life has changed in 3 years of being here in the house of God. But I had a problem with my health. Here, it's been going on for a couple years. And I hear pastors say, you know, hey, got the word of God, got healing, got this, got that. Well, my sugar, and I need my driver's license, and my sugar depends on my driver's license, okay? So my sugar was in the high nines, okay? I said, you know what? I said, Pastor can do it. Pastor Rhonda can do it. I guess I'm going to try it. So for 3 months now, every night, I turn away from my wife because my wife doesn't come to church. I don't approve of it, but I'm a child of God, okay? And I will tell you, I prayed. And when I went to the doctors Friday, my A1C was 7.0. Going down. And I'm telling you what, if that doesn't tell you that the power of prayer works, I don't know what will. You know, I feel great. The last 3 years of my life have changed so much that, and I don't know who to thank. I definitely have to thank my niece and my mother who has passed, but my mother asked me, would you do one more thing for me? I'm a recovering alcoholic, and of course, I've done a lot of bad things. But without Danielle and my other adopted niece, Stacy, I wouldn't be standing here today, I'll tell you that. I love them all. I love all of you, and I'll tell you what, there's nothing like the house of God. Thank you.
Good morning. My testimony's a little different than that. Most of y'all already heard my testimony. My childhood, I grew up with a single parent. My mom did the best she could, but it was hard for her to make ends meet. I'm the youngest of three, and I just started hanging out with friends on the streets, and one thing led to another, and started drinking at 14, and that led to bigger and better things, at least I thought so. Marijuana, harder drugs in my adult life. And I always didn't think I had a problem with substances because I had a wife and two kids, and I always supported them and always went to work. But that kind of stuff takes a toll on your marriage after a while. But my wife, Teresa, she never gave up. Teresa, stand up. Yeah. But one thing led to another. I mean, our marriage was in shambles, and my wife's Aunt Ruth, which is right over there, You can stand up, Aunt Ruth. She invited Teresa to church and me, but I rebelled for a while. But I eventually made it here on one Sunday morning, and it was like the Holy Spirit was just talking to my heart. Pastor Spencer was preaching, and it was like only to me. And that was 13 years ago. Yeah. So I've been drug-free, alcohol-free for 13 years. And I'll just tell you how God works, because now I help lead Celebrate Recovery at this church.
Yep.
And if anybody's struggling with addiction, come see me after service. Thank you, guys.
It's me again. So my faith is stronger than my fear. I kind of live my life by that statement. To give you an idea that this is not my comfort zone, but it's my calling, so I have to learn how to move in it. I have no problem really sharing my feelings, especially when I can type it out, read it, reread it, edit it, hit post, and it kind of goes away. But to do this, this is as live as it gets. I can't shut the camera off and y'all go away. It just that would terrify me. So a couple months ago, I'm praying, and you know that my faith is stronger than my fear. I say in conversations, and it's a constant in my life. And so I'm praying, and the Lord asked me, he said, your faith is stronger than your fear. And I said, yes, it is. And he got a little excited, and he was like, your faith is stronger than your fear. And I said, yes, Lord, yes, it is. And he asked me a third time, he said, really? And I said, yes. And he said, cool, you're going to address 200 people on Biker Sunday. And here we are. So faith is the belief in things that are unseen as though they already are. Now, I was raised in Virginia, and I was raised in the church. My father's a gospel singer and songwriter. His dad, my grandfather's a pastor. His brother, who's my uncle, is a pastor. And my aunt, his sister, married a pastor. So I knew who God was growing up. And I gave my life to him pretty early. I was pretty young. So fast forward, I was 16, started smoking weed. And at 19, and that's a long time ago. In 1995, when I was 19, I got married and essentially walked away from the church life. So I was a smoker. The lady I married was a drinker. And we were just party folks. And that's how we lived life. So fast forward again to 2007, I got what I call a real job, and I had to give up smoking weed, and I essentially replaced that with alcohol. By 2009, it ended up separated and ultimately divorced. That life had just taken its toll. It was time for the party to end, and it just had to stop. So this is where my life started to change. May 8th, 2010, 10 after 1 in the morning. It's Mother's Day. It's a Sunday morning. I'm speeding up Grand Central in Horseheads on my bike. And I'm very, very intoxicated. So I get pulled over, get the kickstand down, bike shut off, helmet off, pulling my license out before the deputy ever got up to me. So I was functioning somewhat normally. He asked me standard questions, how much you had to drink. I just said a lot. Because, you know, if you have to count, you have a problem, right? So, I said a lot, so we start the test. I did my 10 steps out, spun around, did my 10 steps back, and just put my hands behind my back, and he kind of chuckled. He said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I know I'm drunk. You know I'm drunk. Let's just get this moving." So gives me the breathalyzer. We get in the car. Actually, that's not accurate. That sounds like we got in the car. I got placed in the car. He got in the car. So he's finishing typing stuff into the computer, and I ask him, I said, "What, you know, just out of curiosity, what did I get on that breathalyzer?" And he said a 0.28. Yeah, that'd have killed a lot of people. That'd put a lot of people, would have been passed out in a coma somewhere. And like I said, though, I was functioning somewhat normally. Like, I had the bike pulled over, kickstand down, no issues. And that had nothing to do with tolerance. At that time, I was about 175 pounds. Tolerance wasn't my friend. But that was absolutely 100% divine intervention. But, and this part sounds a little, call it like Christian cliche. The minute he said that number, what did I get on that breathalyzer? And he said a 0.28. And the Lord grabbed me and said, "I got a purpose for you. I got a purpose for you." So although, now that's 2010, although I started reading my Bible and feeling that conviction to serve the Lord again, it'd be another 4 years before we set foot in a church. And that's how we ended up here. We went to a couple area churches, and we rolled in here. And it wasn't hellfire and brimstone from the pulpit. It was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And, man, let me tell you. So, you know, I had a different way I was gonna wrap this up, but I'm just going to talk to y'all for a minute. This is a testament about two people's faith, about their faith being stronger than their fear. Parents, every parent in the room watching online, every parent, if there's anything I say today that you listen to this, and that's pray for your children. Pray for your children. It's Timothy 2:1, interceding. Yeah, it's basically pray for people. Pray for other people when they can't pray for themselves. So I say pray for your children. Pray for your children. Those 20 years I spent out of control, running wild, running around holding hands with the devil. My parents prayed for me every day. When I was too drunk or too stoned or too selfish or too proud to speak to God myself, my folks were interceding on my behalf. They were talking to God, asking Him to deliver me from that life safely. Now, I'm not going to stand here and speculate on what would have happened that night had I got pulled over. But what we do know, I was at a 0.28. I was going to an after party. I was going to find more. And the Lord showed up in a way he got me home before, but He never showed up like that. He came in, He kicked the door in and got my attention. Like he showed up. And I honestly feel that while I was very much standing on the doorstep of hell, the Lord reached down there and picked me up and lifted me up out of there, because I had two parents that loved me enough to pray for me every day. Every day. So. And that's pretty much it. I'll turn it over to you. I'd planned on doing a little more, but Are you want me to talk about the Line Crossers?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So 2004, the Line Crossers were started. I told you it might have been a mistake if I get comfortable up here. 2004, the Line Crossers started as a connection group within the church. Pastor Spencer, Dave Austin, Chris Van Zyl, there's a few others. And, you know, that's basically what they were, a connection group. So 2014, we start coming to the church. Summer of that year, where's Carla? Oh, she's traveling.
She's traveling.
Yeah. She introduced me to a couple of the Line Crossers. We went on a ride. I asked her, the following week, I asked her, you know, who's leading them or whatever. And she said, well, nobody really. There were some career changes with leadership, and they weren't super active anymore. And that's another one of those times when the Lord grabbed me and said, here's your purpose. And that's how I ended up right here. So that was the first couple years were tough. We spent a lot of that time, my wife and I, she wasn't my wife then, but she is now, but spent a lot of time at meetings. It'd just be the two of us sitting around a table, but we carried on like there was 30 people there because we knew we had a mission in front of us. And let me tell y'all about her for a second. She met me about 2 months before I got my DWI. So now you have a divorced guy, pretty much broke, got an okay job. My daughter was living with her mom, so I was really an every other weekend father, and didn't have a lot of direction. And now I got legal problems. And she stayed. And there's a lot of cool verses about women in the Bible. You can look them up later. But she stayed. And when I had absolutely nothing, she loved me anyway. And in her, the Lord gave me everything. So, and for the young guys out there, all you young single guys, don't go out looking for a friend and don't go out looking for a lover. Go find a woman of God, and He will give you all that. He'll give you a friend, a lover, a praise partner, a worship partner, a prayer partner, a companion in the truest sense of the word, in the biblical sense of the word. So 2015, end of 2014, Brother Jimmy started coming around. He's our VP. 2015, the folks from Canton started coming around, and that kind of brings you up to right now. That, you know, we tell people we don't ride around looking for Jesus. We take him with us everywhere we go. So, but see, everything that I just told y'all about took faith. I had to believe that, you know, to give up a lifestyle that I've been accustomed to. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I didn't have to worry about who I was. I got to be who God created me. I got to understand my purpose. And then to even believe that God had a purpose for me, to stand on that, Philippians 1:6 says, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He had my story written before I ever took a step. And to be called to take, not just be in a motorcycle ministry, but to take leadership. You know, I had knowledge of the secular motorcycle world, but I wasn't equipped to do this. And Ephesians 2:10, though, tells us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And just to even stand here and say this and feel the comfort that I'm feeling right now, Deuteronomy 31:6 finishes with, he will never leave you nor forsake you. I had to 100% believe that he wasn't going to bring me up here on this stage and watch me panic until you put me in a chair and took the microphone from me. And there's a ton I left out. I mean, it's all good stuff, though. So with that, I really am out of notes. So you are on your own.
Amen.
I'm so proud of our motorcycle ministry, and I thank God for them as they are actually able to build relationships with the different groups that are out there. And honestly, I'm so impressed, and I've always loved the biker community. They are so generous and so caring. And I thank all of you that are here today. I want to share a message with you that I'm going to keep very short. Many people don't realize that prejudice is a sin. That being prejudiced is not of God. And today I want to talk to you about this, especially as we're talking about Biker Sunday. Do you realize that there's actually a website that you go to go find a biker-friendly church? Do you realize that many people who come in, bikers who come into churches, are actually turned away? They're looked at as people that are weak. They're looked at as people that are strange. They dress strange. They look strange. You know, look at Sean. He looks a little strange. Come here, Sean. Sean's got himself a ponytail. Come on now. Look at that thing. He is a man's man. And sometimes when you walk in, thank you. Sometimes when you walk into a church and you look manly and you look like this kind of stuff, you'd be surprised how many churches will send you away. And today I want to talk to you because I really felt moved of the Holy Spirit to talk about smallness. I'm not talking smallness of stature. I'm talking smallness of mind. Smallness of mind is so much different because it gets into how you think. And I found that so many people only surround themselves with people that they like, people that they are alike. Therefore, they're comfortable around them, and therefore they don't open the opportunity to be able to meet so many other diverse individuals to enhance their lives. That is smallness. And I want you to recognize that prejudice is never from God. I did not enough amens on that one. I said prejudice is never of God. Amen. Right now we're seeing it in the church. We're seeing it in the church world. Vaxxed or unvaxxed. If you're vaxxed, they hate you. If you're unvaxxed, they hate you. Literally, it's being pinned against each other in the body of Christ. And I want you to know that this is never from God. It's important that we get this in our spirit because our diversity is our strength, not our weakness. Even the motorcycles that are sitting up in the front, there are people within this culture that need to know that God is real, that God is powerful. He's more powerful than alcohol. He's more powerful than just friends. He's more powerful than just a group. In fact, everybody's looking for two things, love and acceptance. And every subgroup in this world population is all looking for those same two things. The problem is they should be able to find it in the church. I said they should be able to find it in the church. But even the church world is prejudice. We've got to address this because it is a sin. It is a sin to be prejudiced. It is not God to be prejudiced. If you are prejudiced, what you're actually saying is that God can't love everybody. He can only love the people you like. And I want you to know that Christ dealt with the same situation. You see, a lot of people don't realize, but Jesus dealt with a lot of prejudice in his life. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 43 through 46, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethesda. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And this is what Nathanael said, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Isn't it amazing how right there Christ would have been literally thrown aside by literally the Messiah, literally the Son of God, literally the one who washes sins away by Nathanael would have been thrown away simply because of the town he grew up in. Every one of us deal with some level of prejudice in our life. The Bible is very clear about this. It says this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Prejudice is evil. And it must be extracted from our hearts. It must be extracted from churches. It must be extracted. Why? Because if not, then we will not see the lives change that Christ has desired. So prejudice has to be looked at as something that is not a positive thing. It means you've actually prejudged. You ever heard somebody say, "Don't judge me"? Well, that in and of itself is stupid. You know that, right? Every single person judges another person 11 ways in 7 seconds. In fact, they say that before 1 second is done, by looking in somebody else's eyes, you're consciously or subconsciously have already decided whether they are a truthful person or not. You've already judged them immediately. So judging isn't abnormal. But prejudice is making a judgment about somebody that you don't know. And you make a judgment on something about them, but not them. And this is where, again, we've got to really address the situation. Because even with bikers, like I said, churches, you walk into a church and you're a biker, you pull up on a Harley that's loud, you pull up with a vest, you pull up with a hat, you walk in the front door, and you'll get looks in most churches. But I want you to know, you should not ever get a look in this church except for welcome. You are welcome here because we care about people. It's not about where you come from. It's about where you're going. It's about how much God loves you, not about what you look like. Can I hear an amen? I said, can I hear an amen? Amen. Prejudice, when we start talking about it, we look at it this way. Usually the very first topic is race or color. You start talking about prejudice, it automatically goes to that realm. And I've seen prejudice on all aspects. I've seen prejudice from white people. I've seen prejudice from African Americans. I've seen prejudice from island people. I've seen prejudice from people from Asia. I've seen prejudice from people from the Middle East. I've seen prejudice all across the board. And amazingly and sadly enough, most of those prejudices are based on something called pigment. Listen, I hope you all get it. We all came from Noah. Remember, there were only 7 left. It's not like, listen now, we all came from Adam, but when it got to the flood, there was only a few that went on the boat. And every one of us came from that lineage. We have different pigmentation, but if you cut it, it bleeds. Now listen, I'm not talking culture. I'm not talking culture, because culture is different. And you have to come to a place of understanding the diversity of culture to be able to love people in their culture. But I'm talking many prejudice are not culture. Many prejudice are about color. And it's time for the church to make sure that we make sure there is no prejudice in the house of God, because God loves everybody. Another type of prejudice that I see a lot is social prejudice. Where do you live? Nazareth? You live where? Nazareth? You live in Aaron? I can say that I'm from Aaron. Now listen, my house is not in Aaron. My house is in the backwoods of Aaron. There's a difference. We're out there. But it's amazing to recognize that when you start saying towns or where you're from or your social economics, people literally make judgments concerning you. What kind of clothes do you wear? What kind of sneakers do you wear? I remember as a kid, I used to wear Converse. Now, listen, I know all those younger people now out there saying Converse, those are nice. But they were the Kmart special when I was a kid. My mom and dad wouldn't go buy Kmart specials. You know, Timberlands, they were the Kmart special of that era. I remember, man, wearing the junk boots, Timberlands, going to school and kids laughing at me because I was different. I didn't have all the nice stuff. My dad wasn't wealthy in any way, shape, or form. We lived in a house that was over 200 years old. For years, we literally walked on planks as he tore all the floors out. We had to walk on planks through the whole house. When I'd get up in the morning, in the winter, I'd be able to write my name on the window because there was no heat upstairs. But it's amazing to recognize that if you're going to look at somebody from that realm and that's how you're going to be prejudiced against them or prejudge them, then what happens is simply this. When you start prejudging people, you're placing yourself in a position where they no longer will have voice. For who you disqualify for prejudice means they no longer have the opportunity to invest back inside of you.
And not one person in this room knows the person that God's going to place, whether higher or lower, to bring you to your next level. So prejudice literally disqualifies you from being able to accelerate to your next level. You know, it's amazing to me. What kind of car do you drive? What kind of clothes do you wear? What kind of house do you live in? You know what? All of that doesn't matter. Because when you die, you can't take a bit of it to heaven. And listen now, I've buried a lot of people. Now, I'm not talking a few. I've buried a lot of people. Over 33 years, I've done a lot of funerals. I've done funerals where the young man was a drug addict and the mother literally climbed into the casket with her boy. I've been to funerals where the people were 95 years old. I've been to funerals when they buried a baby. And every one of them did the same thing. They said nothing, but they were put into the ground. Why? Because when you die, you can take nothing with you. And if you're judging people according to their social status, you're judging people because of what they have or what they wear, you are stealing from yourself the opportunity of having somebody speak life to you, someone to encourage you, someone to strengthen you. Man, one of the things I love about Africa, I don't love a lot of things about Africa. Now, my wife loves Africa. That's where my daughter-in-law is from. We've been there. It's 24 hours to get there. Just want you to know, that's a long ways. But there's one thing about Africans that I love. Now, when you start talking about Africans, you're starting to talk about true culture. You're starting to talk about the people that are called black, who are the actual residents of Africa. And then you have what they call the mixed race, which are the, come on, Pastor Andre, help me. The colored people, which are, the Dutch. The Afrikaans and the Africans. They got married. And then you have the Afrikaans, which are Dutch people. And then you have the English. And you see all these cultures within the cultures. And it's amazing. The one thing that you'll realize about the people you surround yourself in South Africa is that they're just happy. They're just happy people. They might be literally walking to work for days, but they're going to be happy when they get there. Or they might drive one of the nicer cars, but they're happy when they get there. What I love about that culture is that they're just happy. And I want you to realize, when you literally subtract somebody from your life because they don't wear the clothes you wear, they don't drive what you drive, they don't go to the same things that you go to, they don't like the same things that you like, and you cut them off for prejudice, you're literally cutting off a piece of your life. God hates prejudice. Turn to someone and say, God hates prejudice. Another one is gender. Now listen, I've got to say this very clearly. It is not wrong to take a stand against sin. I want you to realize there are only two genders. Male and female. Follow the science. Penis, vagina. Follow the science. Only two genders. When the church, because God's word stands against certain sins, we stand. That doesn't mean we're prejudiced against them. That doesn't mean we're homophobic. That doesn't mean we're anti. It means that we love them, but we don't love what they're in, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So taking a stand against sin isn't wrong. It isn't prejudice. It's okay as long as you truly, genuinely love them and are there when they make a decision to follow Christ. But I've also watched gender. Gender prejudice. My wife, I remember the very first sermon she ever preached at His Tabernacle when we started in 1998 over at the Holiday Inn in Horseheads. My wife stood up to preach, and four people stood up and walked out. Actually, not even a few years ago, she was up in Ithaca preaching, and she stood up to preach. An entire family stood up and walked out because she was a woman preacher. That's prejudice. The Bible says there's neither male nor female. Thank God for all the great women that were used in the Bible. Say amen. Without them, you wouldn't be here today. Without the bravery of Deborah, come on now, the man would have cowered. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Without the great women of God, things would not have occurred. And then you have all the subconscious cultures. You know, like men wearing skinny jeans. I struggle with that one, but we won't go into that. Shout this out loud. Prejudice is never from God. It is evil. And it is sin. It's important we get that in our spirit. Because prejudice is either taught or caught. Now, I've seen both. I've seen where prejudice is taught. They're taught to hate people. I've seen, listen, now, where I grew up in church, up in Massachusetts, I remember, this is a horrible scenario that still affects me today. I remember when we were near Fort Devens Army Base up in Massachusetts where I grew up. And one day, a husband and wife came to church, and they sat in the back row. He was very dark. He was an African-American, but as you know, there are different shades, and he was a very, very dark shade of African-American. And his wife was extremely pasty, red-haired white. Like, not white. You know, she was that iridescent white, you know, that look through the body kind of paste. So here's an African-American man who's very dark, and here's a very white girl sitting next to him. Not one person in our church said hello to them. Not one. And when church service was over, I inquired, and this is what I was told. Stay within your race. It's sin to go out of your race. Well, last I knew, when I got to Bible school, I learned very quickly that Moses married an Ethiopian woman, and I have never seen a white Ethiopian woman. I've never seen, an olive Ethiopian woman. They are dark ladies. Can I hear an amen? Moses, listen now, Moses, Jesus himself, was not white. Say amen. Amen. Jesus was olive. Moses was olive. Some prejudices are taught. I've heard this from children. All police are bad. That is wrong. That is prejudice. All this people group are bad. All this, whenever you use the word all, you know you're in the wrong. Because I don't care what people group it is. I don't care what subculture it is. I don't care what community it is. There are always people that are not great, that have issues, that need redemption. Come on, can I hear an amen? Some just need slapping. Glory to Jesus. But not everybody's bad. I remember there was a man who was in the armed forces, and he had a bad experience with a person of another color. And the rest of his entire life, he hated that color. And I finally asked him, "What's your problem?" He said, "Well, this happened back in the 1960s. I said, "Dude, it's the 2020s. Figure it out. Prejudice is evil. It tells people that God doesn't love everybody. That God likes certain people more than other people. There's no longer Gentile or Jew. Come on now, say amen. There's neither male nor female. There's neither free or slave. God loves us all the same. Prejudice is always evil. Prejudice is always sin. And the church, if the church can't stand against it, if the church won't stand up, come on now, say amen. If the church gives out prejudice, then when someone comes to receive the Messiah, when someone comes to receive Jesus as their Savior, they're going to feel the hate in the room, and then they're not going to go to heaven. Because you have an issue in your own heart. You see, God's not interested in how you look on the outside. God's interested in what you look like in your heart. Some people have caught it, and that's what I said about the armed force guy. Some taught, some caught. But either way, it's always sin. You see, God loves people. Turn to someone and say, amen. Amen. Everybody's somebody to Jesus. I said, everybody's somebody to Jesus. Everybody. God loves every single person the same. God can't love you more. Do you remember when you were dead in trespasses and sin? You remember when you were partying? Man, you were living for the devil all you could go. People always say to me, well, you know, I'm just going to party in hell. Oh, no, baby, you're not going to be partying in hell. You're not hanging out with anybody. The Bible says when you go to hell, you're all by yourself. And those demons are going to torture you for the rest of your eternity until, come on now, until hell gives up its people for the great, come on, the great lake of fire. And that's Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. There's a reality, and that is there's a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. And we've got to make sure that we let people know that Jesus loves them, no matter what their backgrounds are, no matter where they've come from, no matter what they look like, even no matter what they smell like. I remember one time I was in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and I was doing street ministry. I was going out and sharing Jesus on the streets. And there was a man I came up to, and before I came up to him, I smelled him like strong, like, and the Spirit of God said, go give him a hug. Ah! You know, he had the white beard and all the nicotine stain down the middle. He looked at his fingers, all long fingernails, and all of the fingernails were yellow. The aroma coming from his body in my head said, he might have lice. And God said, hug him. Tell him I love him. And I said, devil, in the name of Jesus, get behind me. He was literally postured in a very small setting against the building. And I walked up to him and I said, hey, man, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. I said, can I give you a hug? And he looked at me like I was strange. And I gave him a hug. And I don't know what happened to his life, but I know what happened to my life. And that is, I learned something very clear. God don't love me more than the man who was living on that street. God isn't sniffing my underarms. God is looking at the heart. Can I hear an amen? You see, this is all clearly spoken about in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Do you remember when God was appointing the brand new king of Israel? And God said, I want you to go to Jesse's house and I want you to anoint the next king. So the prophet went, and as he was there, he looked at the oldest one, because that was the tradition. The oldest one would be anointed king. But you see, God didn't look at how old you were. God didn't look at where your placement was in the house. So every one of them, God kept saying, nope, that's not the one. Nope, that's not the one. Nope, that's not the one. Until all of a sudden, there's no more sons left. But yet, the Samuel knew that he was sent to that house to anoint the next king. So he asked the question. He says, got any more? 1 Samuel 16, 11 and 12. Then said he to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, everyone but the youngest. He's tending sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send for him, for we will not sit down and eat until he's here. And Jesse sent him and brought him. And David had a healthy, reddish complexion and beautiful eyes and fine looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him. This is the one. See, what everybody thought was going to be the one wasn't the one that everybody thought that wasn't. Look at this is a kid that's just out in the field tending sheep. He smelled. No showers. Playing with the sheep, taking care of them. Killing the lions and killing the bears. Things that nobody else saw. See, that's the thing about your life. Really, nobody knows you but God. And for someone to judge you who doesn't know you is prejudice. Because whether you realize it or not, God might be setting you up to be the next king of Israel. God might be setting you up to be the next person to share the gospel of Jesus that will bring a mass revival amongst your friends. God might be saving your life so that you can go to your people group that you hang around, that you're comfortable with, that you'll have the boldness to say, I met God. God changed my life. I want you to know that he's a good God. He's not religious. He loves you. He believes in you. And if you accept him, he'll change you from the inside out. See, today, the church cannot be prejudiced. Here's the problem. Every one of us are prejudiced. Every one of us. Well, I am not. Yes, you are. Everybody deals with some level of prejudice in their life, whether you caught it or taught it. And you've got to address it. For God to bring every kind of people through these doors, for God to bring people to the altar, they've got to know that they are accepted in God's kingdom. And they can't know that. They shall know us by our love. They can't feel the love if you don't like them. We had a situation where my daughter married a Hispanic man. Stand up, Mr. Hispanic man. He doesn't even know Spanish. I don't know. But I remember a family member taking a posture against him, telling my daughter that nobody would, none of his children, grandchildren, would marry an Hispanic man. And I had to take an aggressive posture. I called my dad, oops, and let him know, I love my dad, I'm not speaking negative of him, we've worked this through, that he was not going to be able to come back to my house if he was going to keep that posture, because my daughter and son-in-law were not going to have to feel uncomfortable in my home. And he actually called and apologized. And I want you to know this. Wherever your line of prejudice is, God wants you to get it out. Because people need the Lord. And the only way they're going to know him is through you. And if you are prejudiced against people, then how in the world can God send them to you to save, to share the gospel with? Oh, okay, I'll do that. Some of you are actually prejudiced against yourself. You don't even like you. And God is saying, if I love you, it's time for you to love you. Ooh, that was a drop. So today, this is what I want to do. I'd like you to bow your heads at me this morning. Actually, it's afternoon. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that Jesus will accept you exactly how you are. You might be saying in your head, I'm all messed up. I might be like Sean dealing with alcoholism. I might be like Brad and just running from the Lord. I don't care who you are, I know this. God loves you with an everlasting love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus he truly, genuinely loves you. But you have to be willing to accept that. You see, you can't force your love on somebody, and Jesus can't force his love on you. He won't make you accept him as Lord and Savior. You've got to make a choice to do that. And today the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which means this, everybody has sinned. And the price for sin is spiritual death. God so desperately loves you that he sent his son to pay the price for your sin so you don't have to pay it. But it's amazing to me how many people want to pay the price themselves. People have said to me, how can a loving God send anybody to hell? God sends no one to hell. We send ourselves because we choose to pay the price ourselves when Jesus already paid the price for you. Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. When you receive Jesus, you actually receive. You receive the price he paid for you, so you don't have to pay for it yourself. I don't know about you, man. That's love. I was talking to a man once who was in war. And he said he had a very close friend in war. A grenade was thrown at them. And he literally jumped on the grenade his friend did, best friend, jumped on the grenade, and his friend was blown up and died. He wouldn't be there today if it wasn't for that friend. That's love. Jesus even has more of that for you. He paid it all, so you don't have to pay it yourself. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I want you to know God. You would like Christ as your Savior. I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone here this morning that would like Jesus in their life? Not going to wait long. Five. Remember, no decision is decision. Five. Come on, get your hand up. Four. Three. Two. Last call. And one. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Can we pray together? Do you mind if we pray together? I'd like to lead, and if you don't mind, you can just repeat after me. Jesus, I thank you that you love me for exactly who I am. So much that you don't want me to remain the same. Today, I receive you. Today, I make a decision to surrender my life to you. Jesus, forgive me for any prejudice that's in my life. Whether I was taught it or I caught it, I repel it right now in Jesus' name. Help me love people like you love people. That we will be the church that people will know that you are good, that you forgive, that you restore, that you heal, that you deliver, and that you care. So today, Jesus, I ask that you forgive me of any prejudice that's in my life. I give it back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if you didn't raise your hand for salvation, but you want Christ, Mindy's right over here by this very, very sexy Harley Davidson. That one's mine. If you'd like to receive Christ, Mindy's going to be right here. We have a Bible for you. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. Listen, if you're a guest in the house, and we right on the other side of this wall, we have a guest reception. We'd love to have Terry and Kayla be able to bring you on over there. We also have out there, we have vendors out there for the bikers. We've got biker games. We're going to have a great day. We love you. Serve Jesus with all of your heart. We'll see you next Sunday morning, 9 or 11, right here at His Tabernacle Family Church.